Good morning. I just wanted to start off by saying I'm just honored and privileged every time I get the opportunity to come up here and just share with my family the excitement of the Word of God. Amen. It's always a joy to get into the Word and read it and study it and apply it to our lives. We've been studying about accepting the call over the last few weeks and that the Lord has chosen for us. And we see that according to the Word of God, that it wasn't by chance or wasn't by some kind of mistake, or sure wasn't the luck of the draw, that we were called to serve God. Amen? In Psalms 139, 13 through 14, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Man, that's just awesome, isn't it? I mean, I think about that, and I remember a couple of months ago, I was watching one of those specials, you know, where they showed where they were able to go inside the womb and watch the baby all through the stages of its life. And you sit there and you just think, man, how miraculous that is, that, you know, that a woman would have an egg and it would grow into who we are today, you know? But that's just the outer, you know? I believe it's the Lord that puts what's in us. Amen? And so, in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." God has set each and every one of us apart for His will. That's why it's not a mistake that you're here. It wasn't just a stroke of luck that you walked in. I don't know, maybe Wendy. Where's Wendy? I'll never forget that story. She's driving by. Oh, I'll just stop in his church. Bam! Here she is. Amen. Praise God. But, and even in Matthew, I thought this was funny too. Even in Matthew 10:30, it says, "And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." You know, I mean, that's how well God knows us. God wants nothing but the best for us. Amen? We are His sons and daughters. We got to get a vision of that. He wants to bless His children. He doesn't want to lie to us. He's not trying to cheat us out of anything. And He's definitely not trying to deceive us. That job belongs to the devil. God only tends the best for us. In Luke 11:28, Jesus is speaking and He says, He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." I was talking to Pastor John last night, and I've known Pastor John for years, and he's the one that discipled me through the church, and I thank God for that, because I know without him in my life, I would have been lost, you know. I'd probably be dead, probably, to tell you the truth, but that's another story. But anyways, I remember when I met him, he was a fireman at the city of Allen Park, and I talked to him last night, as a matter of fact, and I just wanted to get his story straight, and he told me that he really enjoyed that job, being a fireman. And if you ever get the opportunity to sit down and talk with him to even see how he got that job, you knew it was God. I mean, it was just one miracle after another, God opening one door after another. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to bless us in those ways. But the thing was, Pastor John was asked to leave that job and to come here and be the senior pastor of this church full time. And he shared with me, he was being honest. He said, "Eddie, that was a very hard decision. Very hard. You know?" And when I asked him why, he told me. He said, number one, he enjoyed the job. I mean, if anyone knows Pastor John, he loves fires. You know, this man could build a fire out of a piece of stick and a rock. I don't know how he would do it, but he'd find a way to get that thing lit. And here he was, because I remember he used to share stories with me. "Oh, yeah, man, I love going in the house. There's smoke all over the place. I'm crawling on the ground, fire, you know, this falling, that falling." I'm like, "Man, brother." But he gets excited for that because that's the passion of his heart. And with all that being said, and then not even to mention the at that time, it was great benefits. The money was good. I remember he used to always try and explain his schedule to me, and I could never understand it. Something about a Super Kelly and this and that, and I'm like, Super Kelly? What the heck's that, man? But anyways, he could figure it out where he could get days and days off at a time, Steve Shank. But, oh, yeah, you call that furlough. But anyways, so, I mean, he was happy where he was. Even though he was still serving God, he was happy where he was. So anyways, this decision came on his life. And he shared with me that he was driving across country, and he had been praying and praying and praying. And he said God spoke to him ever so clearly. Do you know those moments where God speaks to you ever so clearly that you just know it's God? And I want to read this out of the paper because I want to get it right. God told him, I gave you this job. Now can't you give it back to me? That's deep, you know. And I mean, thank God, I mean, as we can see, that Pastor John was obedient to the Lord. And I believe he's been blessed. But even more than that, I can look out here and see that we're blessed. Amen? So thank you, Pastor, for being obedient. And then the Lord impressed upon my heart another brother in the church, a brother Nino up there. If you guys remember, it was a little while back where he came up in front of the church, and he wanted to share that he was offered a new position at his job. And they told him he was going to get more money. He was going to have the ability to travel the world. I just found this out last night. You know, I thought, you know, he'd be going to Hamtramck or something like that. No, he was going to be able to go around the world. And he told me it was going to be minimum a month or two at a time, you know, for whatever the project they had for him to do. And of course, you know, he sought out the Lord and knew that that wasn't right for him. You know, he had his wife and he has a newborn baby and his other two sons, and he just knew that wasn't right. But even in all that, he found out, and I believe that was the Holy Spirit, that he was going to have to persuade people to do things that were against his moral judgment and against the morals of God. And of course, you know, he passed on that because he wanted to serve God. He wanted to honor God. And I know that people around him where he works know that he's a Christian, and he wanted to make a statement for the Lord. Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to start making a statement for the Lord. I want to share this real quick. I don't know why the Lord just put this on my heart. It's not in my teaching, so I can walk away from the podium. The people in my home group know that one of my coworkers, her name's Lydia. I can't believe I'm mentioning her in the church. But she's very, very in the world. I mean, language, everything. But I ran into this other girl, her name's Kelly, and I found out she's worse than Lydia, the way she was talking. Because at the end of my shift, when I go to punch out at the clock, Kelly's always there. And I mean, you know, all this profanity and sexual talk and everything. And well, I don't know how it happened, but she found out. It might have been from Lydia, now that I think about it, because she knows Lydia real, real well. She found out. My partner and I sat at the table getting ready to punch out, and she walks up and she goes, my partner's name is Mark. She looked at us both and she goes, okay, which one of you is the pastor? And Mark goes, he is. She goes, you the pastor? And I go, well, I'm an elder. She goes, I just want to apologize. I go, apologize for what? She goes, for the way I've been talking in front of you. I go, oh, well, you don't have to apologize. She goes, no, no, yes, I do. I said, well, I know it was just in kidding. She goes, yeah, but I can kid in another way, but I don't have to talk like that. I feel ashamed. And see, I know it's not me, but it's the Holy Spirit within me. And then, as a matter of fact, just Friday, I talked to her a little bit more, started getting into her personal life. Like, she had been married, and her husband didn't treat her right, so she divorced him. Now she's living with a guy for 5 years, and of course I said, well, you know that's fornication, right? She goes, yes, I know. So the thing is, I think she's been in church before. You know, or why else, you know what I'm saying? Why else would she have that reverence in her heart to apologize and make sure? And you know, she slipped a couple times, like she was playing this game on her phone, and she said the S word, and she goes, I'm sorry. And I'm like, quit doing that in front of everybody, man. You know, but the thing is, it's just the way God works, you know? And now I got to make sure that I'm going to be obedient for wherever the Lord puts on my heart to minister to Lydia or to minister to Kelly, you know? I mean, the very words that you use could change someone's life. The very actions you take can change someone's life. There are a couple of examples I'd like to share from the Bible, like Abraham. In James 2, 21 through 24, I'm going to read this real quick. It says, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. And in Romans 2:13 it says, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. And I know Pastor John and Pastor Don are always saying this. It's not enough to come in here every week and hear the message and go out and do nothing. And do nothing. It's like every week, week in and week out. And I know because I just did this teaching and then Donovan and everybody else, you know, it's a sacrifice to, you know, sit before the Lord and just pray and fast and seek out God for what he wants us to share, because we want to make sure it's of God and not the flesh. You know, these are life-changing words and teachings for us. And what a shame it is if we come in here every week and be equipped. I look at it as being equipped with a sword to go out into the world and defeat the enemy if we never pull it out of the sheath. What good is it? What good is it? God meant for us to be conquerors. We're not made to be conquered. I mean, we're children of the Most High God, the God that created the universe, the God that created us. Remember, in our mother's womb, he knew us before we were born. He set us apart for his work, for his glory. I'll never forget that teaching when Keith Tusey was here. He did that men's meeting in the morning where he said, our sole purpose of our existence was to be warriors for God. You know, and I believe that. I really, truly believe that. While we're here on this earth, we're constantly going to be in battle. Because the minute we slack, the devil's going to want to come and steal it away. You know, I mean, seriously, let's be honest. How many times have we come in here and heard a great message and we're fired up and we're in the fellowship hall laughing? And then we walk outside and we get in an argument with our spouse, or we yell at our kids. We walk out of the sanctuary and bam, the devil steals it just that fast. Just that fast. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I mean, I'm just speaking truth here. I've seen it time and time. I've gotten phone calls. Man, you just left church. You know what I mean? But remember, the devil's always out. Remember, he's a lion looking to see who he can devour. As soon as God gives us joy, the devil wants to steal it. He wants to rob us. He's the robber. He's the father of lies. He's the one that when we do trip, when we do trip, he wants to condemn us. Oh, and you're going to sit there and go to church and raise your hands and praise God. Look what you did. Look what you said. And he makes us feel unworthy. But like Pastor John said in a teaching a couple of weeks ago, if we believe that the Lord cannot forgive us, then we consider ourselves more than God. And that penetrated my heart deep. I mean deep. Think about that. I mean, Jesus died for all our sins so that they'd be washed away, so that we could come to the Father. I mean, remember, we couldn't come in before the presence of the Lord. Only the priest could. But when Jesus died, that veil got ripped in two. That was the separation. So now that we could come to the Lord, because we could be made clean and righteous before God through Jesus. Amen? So when we sit here and we think that we're too dirty or we're not holy enough, that is the devil keeping us in bondage. I also would like to talk about Jesus. And I mean, there's a million things I could say, but I wanted to just read this story real quick. It's Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. It says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will.'" That quote right there is the number one scripture in this message. Not as I will, but as you will. How many times does it come down to that? Amen? I mean, we knew what his cup was. He was going to the cross. And he knew what was in store for him. It was going to be a hard road. Very hard road. And he asked his Father, "All things are possible to you. Is there any other way?" But then he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." He wanted to glorify the Father in all he did. And that's what's required of us, to glorify our Father no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. Remember back, he's not going to lie to us. He's not here to cheat us. He's not here to deceive us. Even though the storm looks like it's coming on the horizon, how many times have we heard, "Who's steering the ship?" If we let God steer the ship, we'll avoid all the rocks, all the big waves. Amen? He loves us. I mean, he sent his Son for us, that he loves us that much. In Philippians 2:8, it says, "Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." We're talking about a man, because Jesus was in the form of a man, that not one time did he ever sin. Not one time did he ever disobey God. I mean, he was the Son of God. And he was made a man, and he had to die for us to glorify the Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that makes me want to talk about myself. I know for years, Pastor Don, I'm going to try and hide here a little bit. For years, Pastor Don and Carol, since they started these missions trips, have been asking me to go. I got convicted last night. Started crying at the computer. But I said, Lord, do I have to mention this? Is there any other way I can get around this? No. But seriously, I kept making excuses. You know, my wife was even telling me, Eddie, you need to get your passport so we can go. Yeah, okay. You know? And then when I got confronted by Carol and Pastor Don, it was like, oh, well, I can't get that time off. It's too close to change over. I can't get it. But did I trust in God? I mean, if God wants you to go, it's going to happen. I don't care what we do, it's going to happen. You know? But what it was, and I was trying to kid myself, is that I was being disobedient to God because he wanted me to go on that missions trip. You know? So, it's funny. I went, I had to get a passport because we're going on a cruise. You know? And my wife comes over and pats me on the shoulder. Well, there's no excuse now, is there? She said, that passport's good for 10 years, son. I was like, boop. But to show you that God has a sense of humor, there's no mission trip this year. So I guess I'll have to do it on the cruise. So, Pastor, I'll be looking for someone to talk to. There's next year. You're right. There's next year. And I'm going to be ready. I'm going to make that oath to you guys that I will go. You guys hold me accountable to that. I really do. Yeah, I know you will, Carol. You. I might be better off hanging out with Pastor Don. You got a bullseye on me? Okay. No, but seriously, because I want to be obedient to God. You know, and I'll be quite honest with you. It wasn't that I was, you know, lazy or just didn't want to do it. To tell you the truth, I was fearful. I'm being honest. You know, I've always said that, you know. I'm Hispanic, man. But I know I'm an American citizen. I was born and raised here. But I've always had this fear, like, man, I'm going to get over the border. I ain't going to be able to come back. You know? I mean, a part of that that scared me was when she went. And, I mean, you know, she's white. And she went and she lost her passport. And Pastor Don calls me and says, well, your wife might be staying in Mexico for a while. I'm like, see, I told you. You know? But the Lord worked everything out. I mean, my wife was in the middle of the airport crying. Pastor Don's just sitting there shaking his head, looking at her. She's like, Pastor Don, I ruined the whole trip, you know. And she's crying. Pastor Don said, get up. you know, that's not going to stop God, you know. God's going to make this happen, and he did. But anyways, I want you guys to keep me accountable to that because I really know it's something that God wants me to experience, he wants me to do, and I want to be obedient. I really want to be obedient to what God wants. Jesus made the ultimate decision to obey his Father and do his will, dying to his own desires for the sake of glorifying the Lord. And that's what I want to do. I mean, isn't Jesus supposed to be our blueprint for life? You know, we're not quite going to be Jesus, but we're supposed to be striving to become more like Jesus. We need to follow his footsteps. And some may say, well, that's Jesus. We can't measure up to him. Really? Well, in Acts 5:32, it says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And Kenny was just up here trying to steal part of my teaching, man. But we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. He's our counselor. He's our guidance. I mean, think of being on a different country, and you don't know your way around, but that you put all your hope and faith in that guide that's taking you around, you know? Well, that's the Holy Spirit is our guide. We need to trust him that he's going to lead us. I mean, God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us when we're in our time of weakness. That's another thing. See, I was weak. I should have been seeking out the Holy Spirit to help me to come overcome that. You know what I mean? Or I could have went to some of my brothers or sisters and said, pray for me because I'm having trouble in this area. But see, instead, I chose to hide, you know, in that sin, really, of being disobedient to God and my leaders. He is our holy counselor. He will lead us in the right direction and decisions to stay the course and to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. He also has blessed us with godly leaders in Pastor John and Pastor Don to also give us direction and confirmation by hearing from the Lord, our God, for our behalf. They're always telling us, get confirmation. You know, just don't be running around and say, I heard this, I'm gone. No, the Word of God said that two or three witnesses in the Word should line up. That's how you're for sure. And they said, I didn't even have to ask Carol. She said, no, you're going to the mission trip. I already heard. I tried to pull on Carol what she pulled on me. And I know the guys know this joke. I'll pray about it. That's a little side joke, means no. But so in closing, I would like to end with just one more scripture. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think I'd like to sign up for that trip right there. Years of prosperity and years of contentment, and you get to serve God? That's awesome. That's awesome. See, I think it's all in your perspective. You know what I mean? Like me on this going on this missions trip, I can be fearful of it. That's one way to look at it, right? Through the flesh. Or I can trust in the Holy Spirit and know not only am I going to be blessed by it and grow from it, but I get to bless others, you know? And I think of Pastor John again, giving up that job that he had, that he loved, but God had something better for him, something way better for him, you know? And it reminds me of that scripture that says, don't store up your treasures here on earth, you know, where moth and stuff can destroy it, but store our treasures in heaven. You know? I'll never forget that other, who was that, Craig Fosler. You know, he tells great stories when he preaches. I love his stories. And I remember him talking about, you know, making it into the kingdom of heaven. And man, he went, I can't do it now because of my knee, but I remember him running, you know, high-stepping it and saying, woo, I just made it, man. His robe was still on fire a little bit, you know? Patting out the fire on his robe, he's like, whoa, I just made it. I don't want to enter heaven like that, smelling like smoke. No fire, Pastor John, okay? No fire. No fire. We want you coming in white as a robe. No fire. You know, but I want to be able to come in like all the other saints, you know? And when you look back and read in the Word, you see that those saints had to lay down their lives to do God's will. You know, there were so many more characters in the Bible I wanted to use, like Daniel. And that boy was thrown in a den of lions. And yet he was going to be obedient to what God had told him to do, even up until his death. But God respected his obedience so much that he shut the lions' mouths up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same thing. Thrown into a fiery furnace that was so hot that when they walked them to the furnace, the guards burned up. And they came out not smelling like anything. You know? I always told the youth when we read these stories in the Bible, this ain't a fairy tale. If you truly believe that this is the Word of God, then these miracles happened. They really happened. It's not a fairy tale. You know, when it said that God parted the sea and the people walked through, it happened. It really happened. It's not a cartoon. It's not a fictional thing. It definitely ain't jello being blown by a fan. You know, that's what I did in the Ten Commandments, by the way. But it was real. You know, and we got to think, if God could do that, can he do that for us? You know? Going on a missions trip, will he protect us? Yes. Praying for a job, will he give it to us? Yes, if that's his will. There's nothing that God can't do. I mean, we got to drill that in our memory. There's nothing that God can't do. I mean, in this church alone, I don't know if all of you know this, but years ago, I mean, there was a little girl that drowned. I mean, when they pulled her out of the pool, she was blue. Yeah, she wasn't breathing. They tried CPR. She was not breathing. They put her in the ambulance because that's the norm to take her to the hospital. And she came back to life. And then you think, oh, well, you know, no oxygen to the brain. She's going to have damage. Nothing. Nothing. There was another brother in the church that his neighbor was chopping a tree down. His son come running in the house. Dad, the tree fell on Mr. So-and-so. He goes out there and this big, huge tree stump fell on this guy. It crushed him. And he went out there and he tried to move it. Well, and then he just prayed and looked up to God and he said, help me. And he lifted the tree all by himself. And the neighbor pulled the man out. I mean, he wound up living. I mean, he had a lot of damage, but he wound up living. And then it made the paper and everything. And then a couple days later, he went out there to move it again. Couldn't even budge it. Of course, most people will say, well, that's just adrenaline. I don't know. I think it was God. You know? So, church, I know we want to live in prosperity and contentment. But for me, most of all, like Abraham, I also want to be called God's friend by doing what he commands. By doing what he commands. I'm sorry, I just saw that I did skip a page, but oops. But it was just two scriptures that I wanted to say and ask you guys. I was going to come out there, but today I would like to share about accepting the call through obedience. First of all, let me ask you this simple question. Do you love God? Do you love God? Is that a yes, yes, yes? Okay, then 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. It's plain and simple. We must obey the Lord, no matter what the cost. But remember, deep down inside, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. We must be obedient to what God asks. I want to be a part of moving the kingdom. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing in what? Forceful men lay hold of it. I want to be one of those men forcefully advancing the kingdom of heaven. I want to be one of those warriors pulling that sword out and defeating the enemy and his lies and his treachery, snatching back what he stole from the Lord. Amen? And the only way we can do that is by being obedient to God, because he will lead us. He knows what's best for us. We think we know what's best for us, but we really don't. Trust me, we really don't. You know, I chose to hide in that fear, and now that I look back and I know I can't get it back, But as I look back and be honest with myself, I look at how I got robbed by being able to go down there and bless those children and those people, and walking side by side with Carol and Pastor Don and all the other people that went out there. You know, I'm kind of upset that the devil robbed me, because he robbed me of that. But I'm going to make sure he never robs me again. And the only way I can do that is being obedient to God. Amen? Amen. If I can have the prayer team forward, please. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Now, if you're true to yourself and you're being obedient right now, if God is putting it on your heart to get things right, like he did with me last night, or there's just some issues that you're not quite sure about, you need to come up and get prayer and hear from the Lord. Amen? All right, let's go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters, Lord God. Father, I thank you for this word that you put upon my heart, Lord. Father, I pray that these words, these scriptures, Lord, that were used today, Lord, would minister to our hearts and our minds, Lord God. And Father, my prayer is that we would become obedient to you, Lord God, that we would be Christ-like, Lord, in every situation, Lord God. Don't let us try and just pick and choose what we want to be obedient to, Lord God. Father, I pray that we could lay it all on the line, Lord God, that we could walk in freedom and liberty, Father God, sharing with you, Lord God, and your people, Lord. And Father, I thank you again, Father, for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Father, just that you love us so much, Lord. And Father, I ask that you bless us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.